Hi guys, initial, we've got Gini, Jova, Lords, Logie, Wright, Kristofferson, Dorf and Snipes. We're looking at 1988's Blade.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of 100 Things We Learned From Film. I'm one of your hosts, my name's Planty, and I'm a day walker.
Nope, and I'm the other guy and I'm just here for the crack.
Ooh, I've got a crack for you, baby.
I bet you do.
And this week on 100 Things We Learned From Film, we are bringing on a long time get, and we finally got the get, Oodles from Modern Escapism.
Finally. I am here. I am hither too.
You have ascended.
Yes.
Is Gadgets familiar?
No. He's mine. Sorry, mate.
Oh, we're keeping that in. I was going to say he was the Blood Lord, but yeah, that's a bit more like it.
Okay.
Sorry, mate. Is there a mood already? Oh, man. I broke the guest.
Oodles, of course, from Modern Escapism, which means we've now got officially four of the five regular hosts of Modern Escapism on this podcast. As I've said before, we don't expect to get candy. But what does tend to happen when we invite a guest on is that by just sheer fluke, someone on Modern Escapism slags me off the week before. And just listening this week to Modern Escapism, I've been dethroned. Now, regularly, you on your podcast, you weren't there, Rudolph, so you're not actually to blame this time.
Thank you.
On your podcast, you often refer to me as Mr. Podcast Worldwide.
Yep.
But this week, I've been dethroned by that fucking prick punk.
Yeah.
Who is now apparently Mr. Podcast Worldwide. The lad's never even left Northern Ireland. How is that possible?
He's about as international as, I don't know, fucking nobody. He didn't even go anywhere.
He doesn't even leave his own town.
You're Mr. Podcast Worldwide, Planty. You can keep that.
I like to think so. Oodles, for those that don't know, tell the listeners at home what your podcast is about.
Modern Escapism is the quintessential procrastination podcast. It's all media-based. Basically, we were one of those. You know, one of those coronavirus podcasts? Oh. Yeah. We rose from the ashes of that. And we basically, every week, we get together, us five, well, never usually all five of us, and we procrastinate, we tell you what we've been into, what we've been doing in popular culture, games, TV, films, books, everything, and we just review it, we chat about it, and we fill your backlogs. That's what we do.
Ooh. Chance to be a fine thing.
For me, we have a time.
Buy me a drink first.
And yeah, you mentioned that you were a coronavirus lockdown podcast, but I remember very, very famously the slogan at the time, Hands, Face, Biggie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very, very much so.
He was the toughest get to get, to be honest. He demanded so much money. He still does. It's ridiculous.
Well, that's because he's posh.
Yeah.
It's because he's into international rates.
Yeah, exactly. He's French, so...
Yeah. Listeners, if you like what we do, give us a follow. So go to our website, which is 100thingsweLearnFromFilm.co.uk. You'll find all of our socials there. You'll also find access to our Patreon. Our patrons, including Oodles, give us a quid a month and they get a shout out every episode. As well as lots of bonus features such as me reading gay porn.
So good. It's so good. Mate, I've added so much to that.
One of the most awkward things I've ever done. I couldn't even edge to it because it's just rubbish.
It works.
I wouldn't mind if it was good smut, but it really was not. Lots of different bits and pieces, episodes of things. Very, very soon we have got something special to announce that John and I were hoping we would announce today, but it's not going to happen. Something's changed, but we have not just for patrons. Patrons will hear first, but we've got something very, very special coming up later this year that we want you all to get involved in one way or t'other. If you want to do that, patreon.com/100thingsfilm. Give us a quid, we'll give you a shout out, and we'll let you pick some episodes too. Okay, so for those that listen regularly, you know we're just about to go through the film. We're going to try and find out 100 things that we learn from this film. The film, of course, is what, Oodles? As if we haven't said yet, we're about 10 minutes in.
It's Blade.
Blade. John, what year?
1998. Oh, 1998. See, you've got media in it as well. 1998.
Okay, and what else could we have been talking about?
There was actually loads. We've already been in 1998 already, but we're looking at The Mask of Zorro.
Oh,
do I like that?
Yes, you do. You do like it.
Okay.
Yes, you do.
I don't like Catherine Zeta-Jones, though, in this. I can't stand her.
No, but you like her to look at. She's very talented and beautiful in that.
Sure.
The aesthetic. The Big Lebowski.
Oh, previous episode with Josh. Yeah.
Yep. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
I loved that. I think I've seen it too.
The beginning of that film's great. It drops off a cliff.
Yeah. It really does, yeah. Can't stop here. This is bad country.
Yes.
Mighty Joe Young.
Is that the monkey movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, Charlize Theron. Okay. Back in the day.
Right.
And let's end on a high. Snake Eyes.
Yes.
Oh, Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. That's okay. All right.
Yeah, that's an interesting mix. I'm sure. Obviously, Snake Eyes was the one that took home all the Oscars that year.
Oh, God, aye. Still quite confusing, but I enjoyed it.
I like it.
But that was 1998.
You don't just talk films on your podcast, do you? You do games and stuff like that as well.
I love
any
a game.
Games for 98?
1998, mate. Legendary. Get ready. Banjo-Kazooie. Half-Life. Baldur's Gate. Not 3, Planty. Don't get excited. We've got StarCraft. Grim Fandango. Metal Gear Solid. Resident Evil 2. Ocarina of Time. Zelda. What a year. Imagine being an adult then. Obviously, I weren't. I'm so young.
I was. Yeah, me and John were.
I weren't.
I've wasted so many hours of my life on Ocarina of Time. I've played through Ocarina of Time about 8 times. Mm. And listeners, you're not going to believe this. I've never finished it once.
I haven't.
Water Temple's the furthest I've ever got.
Yeah, I got to the end of that and I never did it. But if it makes you feel better, I was 11 then.
No, that doesn't make me feel
better. That
actually
makes me feel worse.
That makes me feel worse. Yeah, exactly.
And now I'm closer to 40 than I'd like to admit, so come on.
Yeah, you're closer to 40 than we are, Sunshine.
Yeah, definitely.
Keep that in mind.
It was Metal Gear for me. I was blown away with Metal Gear.
That was a film.
Yeah,
that was
so
like
was
a film.
Yeah, absolutely.
Beautiful.
Snake! Yes. Oh, I still, there's so much good in that.
Yeah.
Like, every time I see footsteps anywhere, I go, whose footsteps are these?
Oh, going, wing?
Yeah.
Wing?
Yeah. So good.
Must be my imagination.
The codec call in that is my ringtone still to this day.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Funnily enough, my alert tone is Navi or whatever she's called.
Navi,
yeah, not Navi. That's the Blue Keys.
Yeah, that's the Blue Keys.
Fucking hell. Yeah, look out. Every time, which is why my phone's on silent all the time.
Same. I've just realised that. So is mine.
Yeah.
It's been my ringtone for, decades, and it's always on silent. Anyway, let's get into the film, shall we?
Let's go.
We open, it's a New Line Cinema film. I've got New Line Cinema as founded in 1967 by Robert Shea. Now, does that surname mean anything to any of you boys?
No, but yeah. I got that fact as well. No? But it doesn't. I don't know who he is.
Robert Shea's sister is horror queen Lynn Shea.
No way.
Out of all those the fucking Monster Made Me Do It films.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
wow. The Conjuring and whatever. Yeah. The first feature film was 1977's Stunts. I said Stunts. We also have an Amun-Ra film. Anybody?
Yep.
Oh, is that The Mummy Returns? Amun-Ra.
Amun-Ra is Wesley Snipes' production company, isn't it?
There you go. Fantastic. Yeah. I didn't have a lot on them. Of course, all the Blade films and loads of stuff I've never heard of.
Yeah.
But I absolutely love this one from 1998. Future Sport.
Yeah.
And here's the story of Future Sport. In the not too distant future, a new deadly sport is the only way to stop a war that will kill millions. Fix is the creator of the sport. But the spotlight has always been on Ramsey with a Z. Now this hothead must use the game to stop the revolution. Starring Snipes, Dean Cain, and would you believe it, I've saved the best till last, Vanessa Williams.
Oof, no way.
Listeners, Vanessa Williams song jokes. You don't get that anywhere else, do you? Joe James, putting this on your radar for Hallmark of Greatness, by the way.
It screams that podcast.
I mean, Dean Cain for a start. Yeah. Yeah, I just needs that. Kevin Sorbo, and it's, it's a
classic.
The hallmark of greatness triple. Okay. So we open up the film's brightest lit hospital in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like if ER was filmed on the sun. 1963 is the line we get. Pregnant woman on a gurney has a bleeding neck injury. The doctor says, we'll have to do a C-section. She flatlines and this baby's born. C-section, lads, cesarean section is credited as being named after Julius Caesar. The University of Washington reports that some believe Caesar was the first one to be born via C-section.
I thought it was because he got stabbed with all his fellow men.
Et brute.
Chab chab. Chabba chabba.
Did you know, as well, I've got a last fact. You know what that heart beeping is? You know what it's called?
All right, go on.
It's called the arrhythmia alarm. And it beeps for the... It's not if the heart stops. It's if it goes below a threshold that they've programmed in. Because everyone's heart rate's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, fun fact.
Gosh. Hey, how about that?
So entertaining. Entertaining. And one in three women, now, well, especially nowadays, yeah. One in three kids are cesareans because people are too push to posh.
How many of them have you had?
Too drunk to babies.
Too drunk to podcast. The name is derived from the Latin word sedere, which means to cut.
Yes.
There you go. You must have a basic grasp of Latin to come on this podcast.
Clado.
1967 famous births, lads. Mm-hmm. People that we've covered on the pod specifically. Jason Statham. Oof. Julia Roberts. And Will Ferrell. Scottish folk that were born in 1967. History boy and GB News nutter, Neil Oliver. Torchwood nutter, John Barrowman. And Tory scumbag and utter nutter, Michael Gove. There you go. The Gove Meister.
I forgot you were allowed to mention Tories on this.
Oh yeah, we do politics on this one, Oodles, just because we don't on yours.
Fuck the Tories.
every time I've said fuck the Tories, I get edited out of yours. Yeah. Or not invited back for another 8
fuck
weeks.
Fuck them.
We now get that the title says now, and I'm like, ooh, okay. Blade's pretty old.
2024.
It's 2024. The city at night, a woman in her car surprising this bloke with a trip to what I can only assume is where Rocky does his training montage.
Yeah,
all this meat hanging up.
Fun fact on this, on the abattoir, yeah. Do you know who basically popularised the idea of vampires hiding inside abattoirs? Anne Rice.
Was it? Oh, there you go. Oh. I was going to say, was it Mr. Porky's Pork Scratchers?
Not quite. But Anne Rice, right. She was the first.
Since
Rice, he had a go. Everyone's been doing it. Quite popular.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, I seem to remember there was a film where vampires lived. It was it called Vampire Land or something?
There was a Vampire Land.
Stateland,
that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that was all about that one. And then another one where there was vampires that lived in the subway that were like Nosferatu-type vampires.
Yeah, and
all the other vampires.
Daybreakers as well. They had...
That's the one. Yeah. That's the one, Daybreakers. Yeah. That's the one I was thinking of. But yeah, that's all in... abattoirs and stuff, innit?
Yeah, Anne Rice, she was the queen of vampires.
Okay. She's the queen of the damned, indeed. Well, should we recognise the actress here, by the way, taking him in?
Was that Tracy Lord?
It was Tracy Lord. Do we know anything about Tracy Lord's, lads?
I know that she falsified her date of birth so she could do porn.
That's what I got. That's the fact I got.
That's all I know.
Lee actually was not born in 1967, but born May the 7th, 1968.
Yes.
Famously, all but one of her porn films have been banned as child pornography because she got work in the industry with a fake birth certificate. But what you didn't know is she's had two songs featuring films too. Love Never Dies in Pet Sematary 2.
No, what?
Me either.
Wow.
That's the Edward
Furlong. Yeah,
Furlong
yeah.
One. Yeah. And Control, which is on the 1995 Mortal Kombat soundtrack.
Great album.
What?
Which it also sounds like the soundtrack to this, doesn't it?
Exactly the same. It's got two of the same bands as well on it.
Oh, has it really?
Yeah.
Could have been a lot better because the Prodigy was offered to do the OST.
Well,
on this?
Aye.
Yes.
You got that as well?
Oh my god, that would have been funky shit.
Yes.
But they were right at the height of their fame, so they couldn't do it.
They're like,
shame.
Nope.
No.
We've got enough money, thanks very much. Through the back of the slaughterhouse, there's this club. This guy that she's taken in, non-union Jake Busey, he's having a great time, isn't he? Until the sprinklers come on. And it's a vampire club. With blood coming out the sprinklers.
Can we talk about the song?
I would love to, yeah.
Yes.
Public Domain, Operation Blade. Probably the first tape I ever bought, that single.
Oh, right, okay.
One of, if not that one. Remember, 1998, guys. Public Domain, do you know where they're from?
Oh, let's say Detroit.
Scotland!
Hey!
They're from Ayr. So,
oh, are they? Hey. Ah, right, okay. The home of all the Eckies.
Yeah, and on top of that, I've got some vampire Scottish myths for you, really quickly.
Ooh.
So,
nice.
The most famous Scottish vampire is Bauban Sif. And you probably don't even know him as a Scot.
He had a double-ended lightsaber.
Yeah, basically. But not to be dethroned by the West Lothian vampire, which was a real man in West Lothian, that ate his friend because he was obsessed with Queen of the Damned.
Oh, what?
Yes. Real man, still in prison.
There you go.
Fucking right, okay.
Troubled Scots.
Yeah. The Scots. And the last fact is Bram Stoker really, really, really contemplated having Dracula go to Scotland instead of, was it Scarborough?
Oh, right. Whitby.
Whitby, that's it.
Whitby. Famously Whitby.
Because Scotland, famously, has no sun.
Exactly. We've got loads of abbeys, though. Fucking Paisley Abbey.
And that's my Scotland 5 minutes.
There you go.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Oh, that was nice.
John feels at home.
Where's yours planning? You never do a Scottish segment.
You don't care,
no,
mate.
No, I don't.
You don't
absolutely
care.
You're the Scottish segment of this podcast. I spotted loads of my favourite vampires, by the way, in this club. There was Nandor. There was Sparkly Edward. Old Smackhead Bela Lugosi. Yeah. Blood Rain, George
Blood
Hamilton,
Rain.
They were all there.
What a pull.
That takes you back.
They were all there, absolutely. Pull the string. Anyway. So I looked up, can you do blood out of sprinklers?
But it's too thick.
Yeah, exactly, because of course...
I looked it up as well.
Blood is thicker than water. I couldn't find anything on it, but there was a rave in Amsterdam that did the blood thing back in 2015. I assume at least one person got Hep C.
I would have just complained, like, look at my suit now, look at my clothes.
I know, yeah. I assume you know what you're going into.
Yeah, you reckon that'd be on the flyer.
A hazmat suit or something. Yes, on the flyer. It's like when you go to Ibiza and it's a foam party or something.
Yeah.
Ah, fucking ruined my shirt now.
No.
May contain foam.
So I never really got why they've invited him to this if they're going to eat him and then cover him
in blood
that's not coming straight out of the veins. Would that not be like getting a really nice cream cake and just covering it in carnation milk or something?
Well, it'd be more along the lines of getting a nice cream cake and putting out of date carnation milk on it, because
I guess so. Yeah,
it's out of date blood, isn't it?
Is it exactly?
Yeah, feel like it fresh.
Indeed they do. The vamps get properly covered in it. It looks really good. Like, they look excellent in it. They don't just look like they're covered in shit that's fallen out the sky.
Yeah.
The makeup's really good. They're about to meet the one guy.
Did you get his name, by the way? That guy's name?
No, I absolutely didn't. I got the fact he was wearing a back-to-front Kangol hat. Though.
Yeah,
I got that.
That's how you knew it was 1999.
It's called...
We've done Kangol.
In the credits, it's called Heat-Seeking Dennis, because he's got a heat-seeking missile in his pants.
Piss off!
That's what he's called. Heat-seeking Dennis.
Dennis.
Okay.
He'll never miss.
Exactly.
Blade's got this shotgun full of vampire incendiary bullets. He manages to murder a not inconsequential number of them, by the way. He's got bullets, knives, sunlight, and then he caves some lad's head in on the ceiling.
Yeah.
Which I don't really get how that kills vampires, but yeah, sure.
I've got the price of that shotgun, by the way.
All right, excellent.
For all you gun nuts.
There's plenty of them.
So it's a Benelli M3 Super 90 shotgun. At the time, it retailed at $150.
Fucking hell.
Jesus
and it was $4 per slug. He also in
Slug. Listen to this. Oh, yeah. We've got an expert on John.
Absolutely. And also he uses the Beretta N2FS because it's the automatic version, isn't it? And that at the time cost $120 and $25 per case.
Bullets. But you could also get it free when you opened a bank account.
However, he does use his very famous Mac 11 Uzi, the big one. And even then, that retailed at $6,000.
Jesus.
Oh, wow. So how are all these lads managing to do drive-bys?
I don't know.
£6,000 pistol?
Apparently, judging from the fact-checking I were doing, they deliberately do the automatic guns a lot higher so people can't buy them.
Right.
But it's their constitutional rights.
It makes you
it.
Want them even more, though.
It does, doesn't it?
That's me just scrubbed all my gun facts, actually. All my gun facts.
The problem is, right? The problem is.
I had one job.
It's a very expensive gun, but the bullets are just 9mm, which are very. They're like $1 a bullet.
Yeah. A bop, yep. Flesh wound.
The Benelli M3 Super 90 Oodles is also seen in Robocop 2.
Ooh.
Heat. And future episode, Lockout.
Are you doing Lockout?
Oh,
we'll do Lockout one day, won't we?
Aye,
probably with Paul Payne. That's got Paul Payne written all over it. Lockout.
That's a good
great
film.
Fun.
It's a good
great
film.
That's good.
Yeah.
Underrated. Fun. Really underrated.
Once they empty out, the least scary type of vampire, the ginger type, which of course are even more likely to be killed by sunlight. Yep. Shows up with his goons. This is Quinn. Now, I only know this guy from that terrible Gotham show that I watched two series.
Yeah. No, they done Tower of Steve or something. I done a film years ago, and it was basically just his sex man.
Donald Logue was also in. He was in. What's it? He was in another sci-fi TV show. I can't, on the lines of Farscape, but not Farscape, obviously.
Right. Okay.
But
right.
That kind of. One and done series that didn't. He's always been in the periphery. He did some ER. He did some other stuff.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
But bit part just turned up.
Yeah. He's one of the better things in this. He's got some pretty good scenes.
Yeah, the production says it was made. He had Harley and his talkies in it, but because it was so funny, they decided to give him more like dialogue.
He was also good friends with David S. Goyer, the writer.
Oh, right, yeah. Well,
so that helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. It's dead easy. They head into this circular room, which I assume is the killing floor. The name Volubili, it's more of a metal grate where the blood is able to sluice through. But Blade uses this brilliant throwing knife that curls around the room, killing three lads in one throw.
Crawl.
And then staples.
It is a crawl, isn't it?
Very much so.
I couldn't find a name for his blade thing. So I reckon he's just called Blade, and that's what he's got named
it's
after.
Just Blade. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It was the first toy that he ever had in his crib.
Boomer Blade.
Yeah. He sets Quinn on fire. Give Frost this message. It's pretty good.
Yes.
He checks the human guest neck for bites, and then the cops burst in, and we see that Blade has vanished.
Yeah, it's gone.
Cut Stan Lee cameo here, lads, by the way.
Yeah, the police officer, wasn't it?
He was one of the cops. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. In the hospital morgue, Quinn's corpse is brought in, and one of the blood workers, Curtis, checks the bloods.
I hated him.
His blood sugar's three times the amount, and phosphorus and uric acid are off the charts. Yeah, okay. All right, mate. He's dead. I don't think you need to worry about any of that. You know, like, he delivers the line as if he's in the ER, doesn't he?
Do you know how these guys were supposed to be, like, professional doctors? Why didn't they notice that his teeth were... Because when you burn... Teeth don't burn. We all know this.
Yeah.
But they discolour really easily.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They were white teeth.
They also hadn't noticed that he'd still got his trousers on when he makes a run for it later on.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
I guess we weren't spotting that on VHS back
that
in
that. Man was burnt to a crisp.
Production fact, he broke his jaw during that scene and had to go to a hospital dressed like that.
Oh, what?
Dressed like that.
Dressed like that, aye. So he was in the hospital, but not a burnt victim. But like,
imagine that at A&E. What are you in for? What does it look like?
Broke my jaw. Apparently he broke it before because he opened his mouth too wide and dislocated it.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Legend.
I was going to say, who keeps giving this lad work? But then his mate wrote it. So yeah. Karen's the haematologist and his ex, and she doesn't believe this is about anything other than them getting back together. He promises it isn't, and then when they're checking the corpse over, he's like, so what you're saying is I still have a chance. It's like, fuck.
Oh, hey, one in a million. One in a million. Yeah. Still get a chance.
Plus, the pair of these characters have the worst hair of any film I've ever seen.
What's going on with his, man?
Was this reshoots?
It seems like it was. He looked like he had a wig on. Definitely.
Yes, therefore.
100%.
And she just had a lot of silver crin.
He reminded me of the boyfriend. And remember Terminator 3?
Oh, man.
And then the boyfriend, just that kind of vibe about me. Like, yeah, wee prick.
Is that not Eric Stoltz?
No.
No, not in three.
No, it's just a wee insignificant guy, and he had that Motorola 8210.
He did.
Back in the day, big man.
Let's not get us into phone chat.
No, let's not.
Oodles will be banging on all night.
Yeah. Do you need a new phone, John, by the way? I can sell you one.
Yes.
Still, at least we don't have to look at any Curtis any longer here, because Quinn jumps up, grabs him, bites his neck, before lunging at Karen and doing the same. Mm. He's chowing down on her in the hallway, and Blade shows up and just punches him in the face.
How slow does he show up, though? He's like walking really slow.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, why is he standing at the end?
He's not bothered. He's not bothered.
Karen's viewpoint. And he's just like, yeah, I'll get there.
I'll check if he is a vampire first. Oh, yes, he is.
Oh, yes. Yes.
He slices through his arm, and we get our first, he's got an arm off!
Yeah.
And then Quinn makes a run for it. Before Blade can follow, these security guards shoot at him, just hitting his really awesome body armour. And the line here, Oodles?
Come on, remind me.
Motherfucker, are you out of your mind?
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. And he said it right jovially.
Motherfucker, are you out of your mind?
He says it right jovially, doesn't he? Like Simon Phoenix.
Yes, he does. Oh my God, yeah, what a great film that is.
What's your boggle, boy? What's your
boggle?
Previous episode. In fact, motherfucker, you have been fined one credit. Yeah. He picks up Vanessa just as the cops arrives. He runs out the door and jumps out the window and across to this neighbouring rooftop. But he basically picks her up and just hoys her across the rooftop,
breaks her shoulder.
And then he's absolutely astonished when she's got a dislocated shoulder.
Also, this is the first reveal that it's clearly set in New Orleans.
Oh, right. Okay, how did you spot that?
Because there was the New Orleans Stadium in the background.
Oh, right. Excellent.
I just spotted the map later on.
There is a map as well. It's downtown New Orleans. And it's not the New Orleans we always see. Do you know what I mean?
Because you always see it from Boobs ground
Beats,
level.
Boobs for Beats.
Bourbon
Street.
We always see the Mardi Gras, French Quarter. But yeah. Right. No, and New Orleans very much looks like New York City as well in places. Very gothic.
It certainly does, yeah. Except they've got a lot more newspapers whirling around in the street in this film.
Oh, God,
what's that about?
I was expecting the Terminator up here anytime. Well, what the fuck's going on?
I hate watching anybody fix a dislocated shoulder. Either of you dislocate a shoulder?
Twice.
Never.
In the same week. Fun fact about this that I learnt when I dislocated my shoulder twice, I was specifically told not to pop it back in place. Because if you do that, you can trap a nerve and never recover.
Can. That's right, yeah. So, listeners, listen to Oodle and not listen to what I'm about to tell you. Because if you don't have a doctor or a day walker to fix you, this is how to do it yourself if you really must.
Oh.
Right? So, the first thing that that I read here, as it says...
Are you on WebMD?
Pretty much, yeah. I read it and now I've got AIDS. Relax. Reach your arm over your head.
Yes.
Touch your hand to the bottom of your neck. Reach for the opposite shoulder. And the shoulder should pop back into place.
Yes.
Now, I love that it suggests that you can fucking relax when your arm is hanging off.
Yeah.
It's the worst pain ever.
It should. Oh, mate.
Do you know how heavy your arm is when it's not attached to your body?
Oh, I don't want to know.
It's very heavy. Awful, awful.
They head down this stairwell under a hail of bullets, and Blade drives Karen back to his hideout. which I think is in the same rail yard as where Clarence's dad lives in True Romance.
It looks like it, doesn't it?
It's absolutely where it looks like.
It really does.
And which True Romance is fucking...
True Romance is set in New York, isn't it? It's New York True Romance at the beginning, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. Man, that bit with Walken in it is
so good.
Because you're watching it and you're going, I know exactly what's going to happen here. And then it goes past the point and you think, I think he's going to be all right.
Yeah.
He's going to make it. He's going to make it.
He's recruiting him.
Okay.
Become best pals.
And then he gets blammoed,
doesn't
he?
He does get blammoed.
So, yeah, we meet Whistler, Chris Christopherson, bringing home strays now.
Abraham Whistler. Do you know his name from?
No.
Abraham, obviously.
Yeah.
Lincoln. Whistler. Yeah. Famous art piece.
Whistler's mother.
Hey, hang on a second. If this is Whistler, how fucking old's Whistler's mother?
Very bloody old.
Old enough to know better.
Right. Obviously in the Marvel universe, in the comics, because I like a few comics now and again.
Yeah.
He was the man in the chair. The famous man.
He was very much
the
man in the chair. Yeah.
Yes.
Whistler tells Karen he's going to inject her with garlic, which looks like it hurts. Nothing to do with being a vampire. I just bet it fucking knacks.
And your sweat stink.
Oh, well, mate, my sweat stinks anyway. Yeah. That's fine.
That means you're human, Planty. Don't worry.
All right. Oh, well, that's. I'm not a synth. That's good news.
So garlic's meant to lower cholesterol, but there's no proof.
Right, okay,
there's no medical proof.
Your garlic bread's meant to higher cholesterol.
Garlic bread?
Garlic and bread.
With bread? Is she still
alive? I'm a little blind boy. What happens if you inject garlic into the bloodstream? I googled and I got possibly my absolute fact of the episode. Listeners, lads, listen to this, because I say fact and I'm going to use that term very casually here, but I found an article, and again, article inverted commas, from improbable.com. The title of it is Self-tested! Exclamation mark.
Wow.
Intravenous garlic juice herpes treatment. Brackets, new patient. Close brackets.
Dead patient.
Right. I read a whole paper on this, and again, paper. I boiled it down to one paragraph of bits I'd kind of cut out of it. Before the injection, the inventor had acute herpetic gingivitis on the left side of his hard palate with soreness. The inventor noticed the associated burning and pain were gone within 6 hours of the injection. And 2 days after the injection, the inventor was asymptomatic.
Wow.
The inventor experienced vertigo with unknown etiology for several years before the injection. The inventor noticed a gradual decline in his vertigo over 3 months after the injection. And the vertigo was completely absent 3 months after the injection. Where to fucking start with that?
It's quicker to have a course of antibiotics to cure that.
you would think so.
After you're trying to do hair flick of the Gestapo there, I'm like, what the hell?
I was von Smallhausen. Take it with a pinch of garlic salt, but fuck me with a herpes infected palate. That's
fuck
stupid.
That.
What? I mean, you know when you because for this podcast, listeners, I Google a lot of shit. I must be on so many registers.
Yeah.
But
I'd love to see your history.
No, you wouldn't. My question is, who's paying the bandwidth to host that article?
That is a good question.
That's got InfoWars written all over it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
They're turning our frogs gay with garlic injections.
I think you have to put a disclaimer. We don't recommend any of your listeners to inject themselves with garlic paste or garlic mayonnaise or anything garlic based.
Just the bleach.
No, especially
just,
not
just
if you're
bleach. The bleach should be fine. Just the bleach. Get the bleach in there.
Is there any way we can get the bleach inside? Oh, fucking hell. Or the light. You remember we were getting light inside us at the time? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a film here somewhere.
Good film.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely great. One of the better films we've watched in the past year.
It really is.
He says, I'll give a 50-50, does Whistler, and walks off to listen to his Creedence Clearwater Revival tape.
So he does.
Now, he does. We've done Bad Moon Rising on American Werewolf, so that's out. But here's some fucking facts for you about this band. They started out in 1959 as the Blue Velvets. Daddy wants to fuck.
Daddy wants to fuck.
It's been a while since you had a Daddy Wants
really
to fuck.
Has,
in
it. Jesus, that's been a long time.
It's been probably a year. And in 1964 became the ill-titled The Gollywogs.
Yeah, I remember that.
Thankfully, they changed the name in 1967. Creedence Clearwater Revival had 5 singles in America, which all peaked at number 2. No other artist has had so many number 2 singles without ever topping the charts.
Wow.
Oh, really?
I know. It's pretty good.
You call them the best runners-up ever.
Yeah. Is it like that episode of The Simpsons where Lisa's playing along with Oates? Garfunkel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the secondary acts.
Yeah. Oates. Yeah. The other guy. Right, yeah. Poor Garfunkel. At least he's got bright eyes. Because he'd injected himself
nice.
With garlic, I think.
Did you know who they wanted to play Whistler originally?
No.
Is it Patrick McGoohan?
Oh, really? From The Prisoner?
They really liked The Prisoner and wanted him to play it.
I tried to also Google a few Kris Kristofferson facts and. I don't know how factual this is, but someone said he bathes twice yearly. But looking at him,
as often as that,
yeah, twice yearly he bathes. He's gone on record to say,
"Jesus,
he's a scruffy-looking bloke." To be fair,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But then he's a country music star, and so they are.
Yeah,
winner of 4 Grammys and 6 Country Music Awards. But no major acting awards, although he's got 87 film credits on IMDb.
Was he originally in Star Is Born? Was it him? The original one?
Yes, it is, yeah.
With Barbra Streisand.
Yeah.
He wasn't a scruffy in that.
He wrote a song for Janis Joplin and it was a number one hit.
So he's
all right,
success.
Excellent.
Aye, by somebody else.
Looking through his past. He was handsome, and then whatever happened to him happened.
Son.
It's because he was on
leathered.
That big old convoy across the
USA. Ducky!
Convoy!
Thumb damaged. Yeah, he's definitely not a vampire, is he?
No,
absolutely not. At the Vampire High Council, they're going through photos of this massacre. Blade's known to them. They send for Deacon Frost. Hello, good evening, and welcome. Oh, no, hang on, that's David Frost. It's very different people. They're not best pleased with him, though, because he's this nightclub owner, and he seems to have a chain of these nightclubs. Would you say that's right?
Yes.
No.
So indulge me here, lads. Mm-hmm. Is Deacon Frost the vampire Peter Stringfellow?
Yes.
Okay.
They also make note that he's flaunting himself around and that he's a half-breed. So...
Yeah,
fun fact on
there. Mudblood.
He's a mudblood. So this Council of Erebus, the purebloods,
Erebus,
they're all from the comics, by the way. Deacon Frost is in the comics, but in the comics, he's wearing a Nazi uniform and he's an old man.
Ooh.
They changed that for obvious reasons.
Yeah. So yeah.
The Council of Erebus, which is the god of Evernight, Greek god. Mm-hmm. More facts for you, and. The language they speak is a mixture of Russian, Hungarian, and Klingon.
Gosh.
What?
Yes.
Dukcha!
Yeah.
Patak. Love
that. Jesus Christ. Okay, well, fair enough. I did make a couple of notes, lads, because I couldn't help myself, about the real-life Deacon Frost.
Yes.
Not the Nazi, but the Peter Stringfellow club owner.
Yes.
In 1962, the King of Clubs ran club nights called the Black Cat Club in Sheffield at St. Aidan's Church Hall.
I know where that is.
Yeah, there you go. This prick had more clubs than Tiger Woods, including Blue Moon, Cinderella's, Rockefeller's, and the inspiringly named Cinderella Rockefeller's.
Hey,
what?
Bring
the Millionaire's Club, and of course Stringfellow's, which opened in 1980.
Is he dead? He must be dead.
He died about 5 years ago. I sadly couldn't find any facts about his Barnet, which is still alive somewhere.
Apparently, it's got its own. It's got its own life force. It wanders around Soho and stuff like that.
Like when,
attacks people.
Like when Homer got that hair transplant from
T.L. Samora.
Yeah.
Yeah.
back to the Voltari or whatever the fucking over-serious wankers are called.
Yeah.
Frost telling them that they should be eating humans, not making deals.
Yes.
Udo Kier's character isn't happy about this. He reminds Frost that he's a mudblood, where the rest of the group were all born vampires.
Doesn't he always look like he's crying him, doesn't he? In every film,
he does. Yeah.
So
yeah,
sad.
He's always thinking.
Yeah.
He storms out, and they discuss any other business, which includes offshore accounts,
yep.
and of course diversifying into crypto. Crypt.
Oh,
you know, I got it, mate. Crypt. You didn't have to elaborate. That was just
funny.
You, in
did you rate that, then? No, did you rate it?
The listeners didn't get it. The listeners didn't get it. So I'll get my coat. It's fine. We see Blade, who's gone to Razor Cult Books, I think. Hello, Razor Cult Books.
Yeah, he's gone to Travelling Man.
Jesus. In the Corn Exchange. Yeah.
I'm glad you got that reference.
I did. He's come for some serum from this Black Panther lad
yep.
who's wearing a Cosby sweater. I said a Cosby sweater!
Yeah, you never see him again, do you?
Apparently this is what stops turning him full feral and he's becoming resistant to it.
Yeah, yeah.
At his place, Karen wakes up and we see that his room is basically where I think Steven Seagal lives when he's in Russia.
Yeah, I've got a fun fact about his plant.
Oh, okay.
Oh, go for it.
Let me find it. 1 second. We have this a lot. Where is it?
You can never find your bloody notes, you.
I can never find my plant. She's downstairs watching the telly.
Oh, I see you did there.
Yes, so his plant is the Ersatz hybrid plant. This is a good fact. It's a hybrid plant because of Blade's hybrid nature as a Dampir, which is a daywalking vampire. It's the mixture of a Dracana and a leucospermum plant. There you go. And it's used in Buddhist rituals. Blade's a Buddhist.
Oh, yes.
What?
There you go. Botany. Cool. That's all you need.
Botany facts with Udo.
Blade, botanist.
She's basically wandering around touching all his stuff.
She's really like a
child.
I know.
She nearly gets her hand got off this spiky handled sword.
His pig sticker.
Funny, stupid thing about this blade as well. It's called the Daywalker, obviously.
Okay.
It's got vampire glyphs on it that lets vampires know that it's booby trapped, but they never read it.
Do not touch.
Basically.
Apparently it was Whistler's old day.
Yes. Yeah.
Sword.
All right.
Yeah, it is.
Look at you, lot law boys.
Just been reading comics all week, haven't we, John?
Yeah. Do you want to know where? Do you want to know more?
In the workshop, Whistler's been Googling her. Or info-seeking or Lycosin. Whatever the fuck we were doing in 1999.
98.
And do you remember, people used to actually write... Oh, 98, of course. People used to actually write... a question to Jeeves when all he had to do was put keywords in.
Yeah.
How stupid were we?
That's because of the silly adverts
just
that they had with that butler.
We were just naive. Aye.
Ask him a question. Yeah, always I'd put a question mark on the end. You never needed to do it.
I don't think I've ever put a question mark on the end of anything
no,
when I'm Googling.
Not once.
No. Just www.
Pornhub.com.
HTTP.
Go on, backslash.
Whistler knows she's a hematologist and that she could come in useful. Blade sat in this dentist chair. It's basically like Gaza in Hong Kong before Euro 96, isn't it? Howie, man, give us that deer water juice lake, Whistler man, pet.
It's Canny Morris, man.
And he injects Blade with his super happy day walker reduce.
Yep.
And then recall kicks in. Oh. Remember I'm not.
Yes, very much.
Get out of Mars.
recall.
They catch Karen lurking and they basically sit her down and tell her that they're vampire hunters. She doesn't believe them. And Blade's line of, you met Mr. Crispy at the host hospital.
I mean, the fucked up thing is, right, she's wandering around person's house where two people live, touching the stuff, looking at all that stuff, all those weapons. They're either terrorists or vampire hunters.
Terrorists or vampire.
Yeah. So she's not. You shouldn't be as surprised as Karen is in this. She'd be like, there you go. Yeah, that makes sense. Vampire hunters.
What if they flew a plane into the vampire twin towers?
The towers of Erebus.
Yeah, absolutely. Into that, wherever they end up.
That's underground, though, so it'd be a tough
target, late eye.
Is it not the end of the Zack Snyder cut of the Justice League? where they're in the desert?
Yeah, oh, God.
With the Joker. Oh, man. God, I feel a little bit sick just remembering that.
When are you doing that on the podcast? Anyway.
Never.
We said we'd never do a superhero film, and here we are.
It's not in the MCU, so don't worry. It's not in the MCU.
No, I know, but now all I can think is it time for us to do X-Men First Class? Because X-Men First Class is a great X-Men film.
It's a very good X-Men film. Very
and
good.
It's got historic references. It's got a great cast.
It's also two and a half hours long. You don't do long films.
Is it?
Yeah.
By the way, listeners, when Oodles said we'll do this, I was like, yeah, absolutely. Back last year, I said, yeah, absolutely, we'll do it. Mm. When I put it on earlier this week, and I saw it clocked in at 2 hours, yeah. I died a little bit inside.
I thought it was a lot quicker.
Because I thought, oh, not 2 hours. Not 2 hours.
It has got 20 minutes of credits.
No, true.
Yeah. More on that later.
Mm.
We learned from Whistler that crosses don't work. Nope. Water, they can cross water anytime they want. Where the fuck did that one come from?
Dracula,
I know.
You know, like, here's a bit of water, you can't cross.
You've not read Bram Stoker's Dracula.
I have, but not since.
He couldn't cross running water. So he could cross an ocean, but he couldn't cross a river.
Which what? Is weird. Right.
Or a beck,
yeah, a dike.
garlic, silver, sunlight, and UV light does. Mm. Blade gets kitted out with this massive UV lamp, which looks like he's off down the vampire pit, doesn't it?
No. Could you make it any smaller? Because you're a big guy.
It is. It's huge, and it's like when you get a big two-handed weapon in a game, and it just slows
it's just cumbersome.
He's a big guy.
Whistler tells her to leave town. They're all onto her, but the vampires won't give up until she's dead. He gives her what he calls vampire mace and tells her to buy a gun if she starts scarlet
sauce
and getting hungry.
Very much, eh? Get it for your
garlic
Papa John's.
From my local chippy. Blade drives her home. At Vampire HQ, Udo Kier, he's called Dragonite or something.
Yeah, Dragonetti.
Jeff Dragonite.
Draconi.
Dragonetti. So he's Italian as well.
He catches Frost in the archives trying to learn the ancient vampire language, but apparently it's long forgotten.
Yeah.
He's basically got this computer
scanning everything, I know.
And I'm not entirely sure why he's sat there reading it when it's quite blatantly doing it all himself.
Yeah. He does have a moment where he's sat there on his Zune as well, doesn't he? Listening to like house music.
Oh, man. Zune.
Having a great time.
When Blade gets her home, for some reason the city streets are covered in newspapers, as I've mentioned.
Again.
They must be litter training dogs or something.
It's
I'm
just
sure.
disgusting.
It's awful. In her building, Karen spots two people waiting for the lift in front of her with these identical neck tattoos.
The glyphs, yeah.
As she gets out, they follow her down the corridor, and she turns around to see they've vanished into another apartment.
Yep. And then there's Kevin Spacey running up with a camera. Fuck you, man!
In her flat, she's packing her bags as this cop enters. She left the door open. He explains Curtis died. But don't worry about that, okay? Because you're about to die too.
It's a bit
she bad. Sprays him in the face with the vampire mace, and he's like, what is this? Garlic?
Mayo?
Blade turns up and tells us he's not a vampire. He's a familiar. Mm-hmm. Not you, Guillermo.
Mi familia.
Now, guess what? It's time for my top three vampire familiars in film.
All right, okay. Go for it.
At number three, Bella Swan from Twilight.
Hang on a second.
No, that's not a fucking vampire. Count.
She's a familiar. She's obsessed with him. Number two, R.M. Renfield from Dracula.
I'll give you that. Yep.
And number one, Guillermo de la Cruz from What We Do in the Shadows. I'm telling you, Bella Swan's a familiar. She does everything that chuffing vampire tells her to do.
She does, and he's awful. Yeah. Listeners, we're never going to do that, but if you want to listen to another podcast that we love, Friends of the Podcast, talking about all of the Twilight films, one after the other,
no.
Mono Rants are doing it at the minute, and Mono is having a fucking hell of a time. It's brilliant.
Do you know, I've only seen the last film in that saga. Literally,
the second film.
Oh, that's the best one.
The second film is
just it ends.
Her crying for an hour.
I just hated that, man.
As a man who's caused a lot of women to cry in bed, that does very little for me. Anyway, back to this one. The tattoo on the neck is a brand, and it says that he belongs to Deacon Frost.
Mm-hmm.
Blade robs him of his watch, and she isn't cool with this. He's like, how do you think we fund this? We're not exactly the March of Dimes.
Yeah.
The March of Dimes, from their website, began in 1938 with President Franklin D. Roosevelt's personal struggle with polio. Marco Polio led to the creation of the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis,
yep,
better known as the March of the Dimes, which is a lot more of a catchy name. We pioneered the vaccine research leading to eradication of polio in the US, and later expanded our mission to address issues of birth defects. In most recent decades, our mission shifted to focus healthy pregnancy and ending the preterm birth crisis,
yep,
which innovations like folic acid, newborn screening and surfactant therapy, whatever that is. Every year, though, they do 2,400 patient visits through their mobile health centres. For me, it's a great non-profit, and American listeners, you can donate at marchofdimes.org.
Yes.
Of course, they didn't pay us to say that.
Take your folic acid, ladies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's obviously how they rob to fund,
yep,
their vampire hunting.
Yep.
How do we fund this podcast, John?
By robbing.
Robbing the patrons. That's absolutely right.
By selling tat.
A shout out to some of them: Candy, Stig, Biggie, Gadget, and some arsehole called Oodles.
Scumbags.
Vampy Rob Jones of Records and Bands. Dan and Gavin, Be There with Belson. Hallmark of Greatness is Joe. SP Film Viewers. Aaron from Z1 Podcast. Josh Wilson of Super Familiar with the Wilsons. Punk from What the Fuck Do You Want, Prick. Ian of Cool Connections. And Mono and Kira. Thank you very much for your money.
You've got a right army, haven't you?
It's getting there, mate. Yeah, it's getting there.
Militia. More of a militia.
Cult.
Little vampire army. Downside is that the Rolex is fake.
Yeah.
He's not very happy about that. At the squad car, we see that the boot is full of blood bags. He refuses to tell them where he was heading with it, and he escapes after Karen stops Blade from shooting him. If you want to stay alive, you have to learn to pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
That night, stalking out Krieger's squad car, we see him returning back for it. He makes a call on the radio to clear out the clinic as Blade is coming. Now, I love the way this is shot,
mm-hmm,
because it's sped up, but it's not in fast forward. It's almost kind of animated. Mm-hmm.
It's like the background slower than the foreground. It's really strange how they did it. It's cool because it gives you like an ambience. You know what I mean?
Nice.
It's really strange.
Yeah, it's really fun. Blade explains that this club is a vampire club.
Yeah.
He can tell by the way they move and smell that they're vampires. And she's like, oh, loads of vampires. There's worse things out there tonight, like me.
So cool. He's such a flirt.
I know.
He really is. He really
is. Let's go on the chat.
He does this, okay, Vampire Anatomy 101. Crosses and holy water don't do dick, so forget what you've seen in the movies. Use a wooden stake, silver, or sunlight to kill them. You know how to use one of these? And he hands her a gun. Safety's off. Rounds already chambered. Silver hollow point bullets filled with garlic. You aim for the head or the heart. Anything else, it's your ass. This is so cool.
It is pretty cool.
And he's got no lines. Like, that is almost the most he says in that entire film.
Yeah. It really is.
This doorman stops him. Smash cuts him just getting kicked through this glass pane into the club. Inside, it's full of vampire Asian businessmen watching Japanese schoolgirls perform on stage.
They're 400 years old, mate. It's allowed.
Oh, okay. That's the old Edward Bella thing, isn't it? Like, he's a 119-year-old virgin.
He's not a nonce.
But he was turned when he was only 16.
Yeah, forever 16.
But that's okay. Yeah. Try that in a court of law, mate. Blade spots Krieger and starts throwing him around the kitchen. He tells him the entrance to the club is in this fridge, and he just refuses to believe him. He's like, no, it's
it
in the
genuinely
fridge.
Is.
And when he opens the fridge, some steps down. It's like where a poo gets into his roof guard behind the non-alcoholic beer.
Do you
what
know,
happens if someone wants non-alcoholic beer? Do you know it's never happened?
Did you notice something weird about the kitchen? It's got loads of food in it, and it's a vampire club.
Oh, right, okay.
It's got chefs.
Maybe they're not all vampires.
Maybe the familiars are getting fed, yeah.
Maybe it's like that TV show, Cake or Death or whatever that's called on Netflix. is it cake or is it a real thing?
Cake or Death. I'm sure it's not called Cake or Death.
Jump on that steak. Is that a steak?
It explodes into just blood.
Yeah, maybe. But maybe they're feeding the familiars to fatten them up, maybe. Who knows? But it's weird.
Oh, possibly.
It's weird. I just noticed it. It's not a fact, guys. It's just weird.
Aye.
He says, give Frost a message from me. It's open season on all sockheads.
I love that. I love it so much.
They head into the fridge, down the stairs, and into the archives. This is what I assume all mainframes look like in real life, by the way.
One at my work looks
just
exactly the
same. Just loads of boxes with LEDs on. You know, like the box that's got the internet on it with the blinking light and the IT crowd. At Frost's apartment, he's in his bedroom doing translation on his laptop. And when it's complete, it all of a sudden becomes the Lawnmower Man.
Do you know what laptop it was?
No.
Apple MacBook PowerBook G8, baby.
All right, good spot.
Yeah.
imagine having to do a fucking Windows 95 puzzle game before you can get into your bed.
I don't like how the frame rate was so good on that old computer.
That
was 60 FPS.
I think
you
beefed
that
up.
Yeah, that's a gaming laptop, that.
That was the Alienware back then.
He's been playing Doom and stuff on that, hasn't he? Half-Life.
Quake 2. Yeah. Deacon gets a call and told there's someone here to see him. It's Krieger. He's explaining that Blade is onto them, but he can still get the girl. Frost rips his neck out and throws his corpse into this infinity pool.
Yeah.
Shouting to Quinn that he wants Blade alive.
I tell you what, though, Krieger's makeup for being absolutely brayed by Wesley Snipes is incredible. His skin's all yellow and fucked up.
Hmm.
Back at the record archive, we meet Pearl, right, who looks after the mainframe. Now, I couldn't quite figure out, because I love a backstory. Mm. I wanted to know more about what Pearl's story was.
I know.
Oh, right, go for it. Oh.
Pearl is now not allowed in the Marvel comics anymore because of his backstory in general. Pearl is that big and fat because he exclusively eats children, which has the highest sugar content of all.
Oh,
all
God,
humans.
Oh, man.
So he's got vampire diabetes.
He's Edward out of Twilight. Yeah. He has under 16.
Yeah.
But it's all right because he was turned when he was
exclusively
only.
Yeah, they don't have him in Marvel anymore. But again, fun fact with that suit.
Why.
That suit is three people. One on each arm
all
and the guy in the head.
Jesus.
Wow. I mean, that's funny because so am I. Wow, okay.
But yeah, he eats kids.
I like
kid-eater.
That. That's the kind of thing. That's the, kind
that's
of
the fact
thing,
you want,
that's
isn't
the
it?
Kind of thing you like.
That's what you
that's
want.
The kind of thing that you would expect in a Neil Gaiman, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
oh,
the kind of thing you'd expect in a Hellblazer or something like that.
Yeah, some kind of like demon of lust or some. Yeah, it's disgusting, but he's not in the Marvel canon anymore.
Oh, well. Oh,
well.
Fair enough. He's a big lad, as you said, and I love the insult. He says, oh, what's that you've got there? That biscuit boy
biscuit
is a UV lamp. And you're going to give me some answers. It's not okay to fat shame this giant.
He's not just fat,
vampire.
Mate. He's flat.
Yeah.
absolutely. He gets burnt a fair bit until he gives up the info. And because he ends up looking like a Findus crispy pancake.
Pancake boy.
The line is, Lamagra, the blood baron, is coming.
Yep.
Frost needs some virgins or some MacGuffin shit. I don't really know. Blade blows the door into the archive proper, where the ancient scrolls are kept. The line is something like, look, hold this, and if he tries to move,
fry him.
And he just says something, doesn't he? Pearl says something.
He's
and
just talking.
Absolutely, just she sets fire to him.
But she's got that look of disgust on him, hasn't she? She can't stand him.
Yeah, very much so. And when Blade turns around, he's like, What happened? Well, he moved.
Oh, brutal.
I know. Fat, you know what I mean? Fat lives matter, man. Fat lives
matter. Fat vampire lives matter.
Big fat baby.
despite his diet.
Indeed, yeah. UV radiation, gentlemen, if you want to buy a UV lamp, uvgear.co.uk, sell a 72-watt blacklight LED radial lamp for $129.95, including VAT. Imagine how much jizz you'd see.
I was going to say, yeah, fucking Paul Light
Painting. I think John's got one on his mic by the looks of this.
I know. Ooh.
Beneficial effects of UV radiation include the production of vitamin D.
Yes.
A vitamin essential to human health. Vitamin D helps the body absorb calcium and phosphorus from food and assists in bone development. The World Health Organization recommends 5 to 15 minutes of sun exposure 2 to 3 times a week, which explains why John is quite so pale, because he lives in Scotland.
I know, we get no sun. Fucking vampire city here.
It is. And another fun fact, my mum is still one of the only people in Northern Wales with a sunbed. Do you know one of them that go over the actual bed?
What?
Oh, really?
She's still going. Oh, wow. She still bloody loves it. She's brown as she likes.
Does she look like Madge out of
yes.
Benidorm?
Yes, but more Jewish. Oh, yeah, she is brown. She's raisined.
Oh, that's a raisin detra. That's fine. Or something. I don't know. There's some scurrying around here. And Blade finds them. It's a girl.
Yeah.
Now, I absolutely didn't get this because there's not enough of it. So this little tiny woman who looks like the one that was hiding behind the mirror in that Willy Wonka thing.
The unknown.
It's the unknown. It's the unknown, children.
Give away.
Yeah. So she... And it's kind of like, oh, look, she's a little girl. And then all of a sudden she gets kung fu fighting.
She basically becomes a Power Ranger. She's like...
Absolutely.
She's not even named. She's not even credited. It just says vampire girl.
Yeah. What?
When Blade approaches her, he's distracted by Quinn and his kung fu goons. And the girl is Jackie Chan incarnate for some reason. They capture Blade and Quinn explains that he grew a new arm. One of the goons grabs Blade's sword and gets his hand exploded when the nails
starts
come out.
Licking his
arm. I don't
arm.
Really understand how that explodes a hand.
No, it wouldn't. It
oh yeah, he's licking the wet stuff.
It'd just like stick through your hand, wouldn't it?
Aye.
Yeah, I think.
But as we can see in this film, vampires are very squishy.
They're very.
they are super squishy vampires. Quinn takes on one of Blade's silver stakes and slams him in the shoulder.
Mm.
Just then, there's an explosion and the wall comes in. And here's Whistler. Have I got you motherfuckers at a bad time? Another good line. There's some really good one-liners.
There is.
He basically blows them all away with this fucking hand cannon. And Blade makes a run for it. Making their way into the subway tunnel, Whistler throws a bag bomb into the archive, which explodes the place. Blade and Karen dive past this subway train. And when Quinn jumps after them, he makes it. But the two goons get splatterhoused on the front of the train.
This is the bugbear of me, because Blade famously... The character itself, he's actually English. And then the move to New Orleans in the books. And in this film, it's based in New Orleans. New Orleans does not have an underground.
Because
it's already below sea level, and it's...
Yeah.
It's not very good, is it, to have an underground in a place that, like, floods all the time.
Floods on a regular basis. Yeah.
So it's weird. And also, this train had upwards of 80 carts, and this scene, it never stopped. It did not stop.
It just kept going, didn't it? It was an infinite train.
Yeah. They were saying there was cardboard cutouts in them, and I was like, what's the point? You don't see anything.
It doesn't see nothing. It's all CG. It's all CGI.
No, good point. Blade and Quinn have a fight, which involves Quinn getting his face planed off this dog shit.
Brilliant.
He got Spider-Man, didn't he?
Yeah.
Fucking Sandman.
It's brilliant, though,
and
when you think about
his
it.
Arm again. As they're cornered by vamps, Blade grabs Karen and then the back of the tube train, and they basically subway to safety, don't they?
Yeah.
How are them two not dead?
In the carriage, Blade has a dislocated arm. She repays the favour from earlier by fixing it. He then takes his medication. She's like, you're one of them, aren't you? No, I'm something else. Whistler explains that he found Blade as a teenager. This is when they're back in the in the train yard. He found Blade as a teenager living on the streets. His mother was bitten by a vampire before she gave birth, causing him to have genetic changes. He can withstand garlic and silver, and he heals quickly. Yeah. But he also inherited the thirst, and his body is rejecting the serum.
And he does age, doesn't he, like a human? That's the problem. And
yeah, he does.
Whistler's worried about that, because like, he's not going to be here forever.
Yeah. Mm. Karen asks why Whistler hunts them. He says, they killed my family after toying with them. He says they kill as many as they can, but Frost is making changes. We're just not sure what he's doing.
Do you do future spoilers on this show?
Yeah, sure.
Because in Blade 3, he's got a daughter. Whistler's got a daughter in Blade 3.
Oh, aye. Whistler's daughter.
Oh, it's... What's her
Jessica
name, isn't
Garner,
it?
Jessica Garner.
Oh, aye. God.
Jessica Biel.
Biel, that's it.
Yeah, Jessica Biel.
And, yeah, so he's got a daughter. So he's lying. Oh. He's straight up lying.
Well, if we're going to spoil it, I was going to say Morbius was the original choice for the villain and And the second one?
He was.
Instead
of Novak or whatever he's called.
Mm-hmm. Man, that second film's so good, best though, isn't it?
It's the best one. Yeah. Guillermo del Toro, that's why.
It's my favourite.
I went to the cinema to see the third one, and I just remember just being so disappointed.
It lets you down, doesn't it?
Fun fact on the third one as well, that Wesley Snipes refused to come out of his trailer for most of it. That's why Ryan Reynolds is the star of that one.
Oh wow! Yeah. Right, do you know what? I'm going to watch them all again. I'm going to watch them all again.
Don't watch the third one, mate. Don't bother.
No, I am.
CGI eyes.
It's basically it's a Deadpool film. It's just Deadpool.
He refused to put in the contacts. Anyway, that's another film. Refused to put in the contacts, and they CGI'd in. Oh,
and if you watch Blade 2, you'll realise how fucking much better it is than this one.
yes, it is. But this is, you know, it's great. Opens it. It's good.
Yeah, first crack.
It's like Spider-Man versus Spider-Man 2.
Exactly.
Spider-Man 2 wouldn't happen if it wasn't Spider-Man.
True.
Yeah. Just happy to pay the bills, Otto.
It's just character development, really, isn't it?
That's it. Karen approaches Blade. She tells him she knows what he is, and he's not having any of it. I'm not human. Humans don't drink blood. Every time I take one of those monsters, I get a little bit of my life back. Back at Frost, Quinn says he wants to take Blade out after he took his hand again. But Frost wants him alive. In Frost's car, Mercury, who is not a character, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
She's got like two bits. There's like a bit at the beginning, a line here where she puts a zinc block on him, and then the bit where she dies.
Is she Irish?
Nothing else.
Has she got an Irish accent?
No, she's, I think, Swedish actor or Norwegian or something like that. Yeah, Scandinavian actor. And Mrs. Not in this film. She's slathering him with this zinc block. Our episode on Tremors, listeners, if you want to learn about zinc block. And they get out the car on the beach and they've got Dragonetti prisoner. Frost points to the sunrise and Dragonetti starts to get, let's say, a little hot under the collar. He tells Frost he'll never be a pure blood and he'll never rule. Frost takes a pair of pliers to his teeth. And they walk away as Dragonetti does the melty bloke from RoboCop.
It's not bad, but it's very stop motion-y, isn't it?
It is. And stop motion's fine. I think if they did stop motion stuff now, like The Mad God, that's perfect. The Mad God's a perfect film. For some reason, they're all dressed like they're taking part in the next round of Road Rash here.
I know. She's ready.
On this scene as well, I did a little bit of Googling, like the science of vampirism or mythological vampirism. Do you know...
Okay.
The scientists, waste of scientists' time, but they stated that vampires wouldn't even be allowed out at full moon because of the UV radiation from the sun.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
Literally can only come out over. That's just why Scotland's so perfect for vampires.
Because we get none of that shit.
We get nothing.
No sunlight.
See when you see it all, lunar eclipse, like, right, we're not seeing that. Solar eclipse, yeah, we're not seeing that.
It's
either.
Crazy when you think about it because that's all the moon is. It's just it's the UV's bouncing off the moon so we can see it. They wouldn't be allowed out.
Yeah, absolutely. Back at the archives, Frost throws a senior vampire dragon at his teeth and tells him he needs 12 volunteers. Mm-hmm. Back at Blade's place, Karen explains she's created a fluid containing EDTA, which is used to treat blood clots. She adds it to a sample of vampire blood, and it causes the jar with the blood in to explode.
Yep.
Thankfully, Blade's wearing fucking sunglasses, otherwise he'd have got his contacts taken out.
Oakley's, big man, his Oakley's.
His Oakley's, yeah.
Yeah, I got that down that they were Oakley's.
Oakley number fours.
Yes.
Hematologists, boys, diagnose and treat patients with blood and bone marrow disorders. You might get a referral if you have anemia or low red blood cells, deep vein thrombosis, which is blood clots, leukemia, lymphoma, or multiple myelomas, which is cancers in your bone marrow, lymph nodes, or white blood cells. Cheery stuff. If you want a job in the NHS, which, you know, good for you if you do, the basic salary ranges from £32,398 to £37,303. Once you start your specialty training in the NHS, you can expect to earn a salary of at least £43,923, which can increase to between £93,000 and £126,281 as a consultant. But you should be paid fucking triple that, because fuck the Tories.
Yeah. Okay.
Fuck them.
Absolutely.
I was looking at a few years ago, because my wife's a trained phlebotomist, which is...
Ooh.
Drawing blood, not to drink.
Yeah,
just a wee taste.
That's how you keep yourself young, though.
Yeah, exactly. It is, yeah. And the average salary for a phlebotomist, which is still an essential part of the NHS, is about £18,000.
Jesus Christ!
So all these nurses that come in and take your blood, that are extremely trained to not destroy your vein, by the way.
Yeah.
Get paid that little. Get more at McDonald's.
Listeners,
you get a call centre.
Yeah, yeah.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, listeners, if you're in the hospital, make sure you take some cash.
Yeah.
You know, money cash, and just give them some cash.
Give them it.
Thank you very much. Here's a tip.
Yeah.
Oh, we can't take that. Yes, you fucking can.
Yeah.
You are.
Yes, you can.
I'll just put it in a card.
Give the good work.
Put it in a card with cash in it. They've got to have it then. It's a gift.
That's exactly it. They're absolutely.
Here's another withdrawal from me.
And walk out with your cape going
every day I love you, listen.
One
two pints,
two. Now I have 4 pints of human blood. Film.
We're having so much fun.
I know.
Oh, we are. Oh, isn't it fun?
Having fun.
Aren't you having a great time? So this, in reality, so she talks about this fluid, this EDTA, which is used to treat blood clots. In reality, an EDTA test is used to assess the function of your kidneys through a series of blood tests. EDTA refers to the name of the substance that you will receive by injection, and it contains a small amount of radioactive material.
Yeah.
This allows it to act as a tracer, which will show the kidney functions.
Yep.
Mate.
I got that.
That's me making the film more boring, listeners. Whistler heads off to his desk and starts coughing. Blade tells her that he has cancer. You have a lot of love for him. We have an arrangement.
Did you see what Whistler was drinking out of the bottle?
Oh, Jack Daniels.
Which is officially the worst drink on the planet. We voted on our
yes,
podcast.
I agree. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Is that true?
I'd rather drink grouse.
It's not even whiskey. They like to lie. It's a liqueur. It's just it's piss. Yeah. It's awful. But they've got a cool logo. So it sells.
Your wife's American Noodles. She must swear by it.
She loves
Americans
it.
Love
she
it,
fucking though. Loves it. Yeah. And Bud Light and stuff. Ugh.
Oh, I mean, at least she should be drinking Maker's Mark.
And
at least she should be drinking something.
Blue Ribbon, she likes that as well.
Yeah.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
You love that, didn't
again,
you?
More Blue Velvet references.
Well, they do that. They do it in Aldi now, so fuck, we're fucked.
Oh, do they really? I think Pabst Blue Ribbon was the first product that we decided we were never going to cover again, wasn't it?
Yeah, because we've
covered
done
it more
death.
Than any other product.
It's awful.
Pabst Blue Ribbon and some sort of gun.
Have you tried it? It tastes like shit.
Yeah,
Foster's.
No, it's awful. Yeah.
And Foster's
Jesus.
Shit.
Yeah. I don't think any shit.
Oh, it can.
It's like Bud Light. I've got a case of 24 cans of
Can't
Bud Light
it.
In my shed. And it's not getting... Of course it's not getting touched.
No.
I bought it for Christmas because we've got friends who like Bud Light.
Mm-hmm. Friends that
and
got
thought,
no tongue.
They come round. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they were once friends. They were once friends. And it's just not been drunk. Even they wouldn't have it.
Yeah, just don't...
Even the fire won't take
don't
it.
Don't drink Jack Daniels, listeners. Just don't do it. It's not cool. It's not clever. Have a tot of Teachers instead. Fuck it.
Oh, Teachers. Jesus, there you go. Later, Whistler checks out her neck, and we learn that she has only a day or so left. Mm. He says, "For what it's worth, I'm sorry." She says, "You make it sound as if I'm already dead. You might as well be." Out in the street, Blade spots Frost across the road, Zinc Block, of course, with a small child. He threatens to kill her if Blade tries anything. Frost explains the intent to learn Blade's secret, that vampires are a new race. They're basically humans plus.
Yeah.
He offers Blade a truce. Blade knows what they're up to, and he's trying to invoke the Blood God. Frost, you're nothing to me but a dead vampire.
Yeah.
Blade fires three bullets at Frost, but they're not real bullets, these. If you look very carefully, they're the cartoon bullets out of Eddie Valiant's gun in Roger Rabbit.
So was.
They yeah. look like dog
However,
shit.
However, it was bullet time before The Matrix.
Oh, so it was.
So it was 1 year before.
1 year before. And he also calls the vampires Hominus Nocturna at this one. So the new species, which makes sense in a weird way. Like Homo sapiens in the dark. Latin, guys, come on. It's not a dead language.
I know, yeah.
Taught every day.
We're the new mutants, Charles. You should have killed us when you had the chance. Frost dives out the way and throws the girl like a spiraled American.
He flings her into a bus stop.
Right in front of this bus. And Blade has to decide whether he's killing Frost.
He kills Frost. He goes for Frost first.
Aye.
He does.
He
scoops her up just before the bus hits her. And that's the last we see of that little girl. Back at HQ, we learn from Whistler and Karen that vampires drink blood because they can't make their own hemoglobin. Which I think was the beer you were drinking earlier on in it, Oodles.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's Hobgoblin. Hemoglobin, hemoglobin is a protein in your red blood cells. Hemoglobin, boy, you got my cheese whiz. It's a protein in your red blood cells that carries oxygen to the body's organs and tissues and transports carbon dioxide from your organs and tissues back to your lungs. If a hemoglobin test reveals that your levels are lower than normal, it means you have low red blood cell count or anemia.
Yeah, get to the doctors.
Yeah, if you can get an appointment. Karen's plan is to rewrite her own DNA and stop the turn. She doesn't think she can. She doesn't think she can do the same for the Daywalker though. But she's going to try. Just then, a bunch of vampires show up and start shooting. Frost kicks Whistler almost to death and leaves him for Quinn to finish off. Next scene, Blade arrives and spots one of the goons Whistler managed to take out before finding Whistler's bloody body, barely alive, under this. Sheep. Tarp. I don't know where they got the sheep from.
It's a bit of tarp, wasn't it?
He explains Frost took Karen, that he's trying to start a vampire apocalypse, but Blade is the key. Frost needs the blood of the Daywalker. He is the chosen one. If Frost gets Blade's blood, there'll be armies of the undead. Whistler explains, "I've been bitten and I need to finish myself off."
It's that death thing, isn't it? Oh, I'm going to die, might as well have a wank.
Might as well crack one off.
That's what hangovers are for, isn't it? Oh, I'm dying. Oh, might as well.
Blade gives him his gun and he tells him to walk away.
He don't just give him his gun, mate. Away. He gives him his Mac 11 Uzi.
Oh, aye. This is going to be pretty.
And he just shoots it as if it's just a pistol. That would have gone just on the first pull.
Like a single, like a single bullet. Yeah.
His brain had just been splattered everywhere.
Blade. How'd you put this on his semi?
Oh, well, that's what he was. He said he went to finish himself off. So he must have had a semi already.
I mean, Blade had a few like Glocks on him anyway. Why didn't he just give him a Glock? Just get a single shot.
Yeah. Not a bit more discreet.
Have my Mac 11.
Date properly.
Blade watches a VHS left rim with a video of the vamps taking Karen. On it, Frost tells them that they'll be waiting for him at Edgewood Towers, which I think is one of the opening scenes of Fawlty Towers where they move the words around. We get a weapons montage of Blade making bullets with the EDTA and doing a bit of meditation. Yeah. You've already said, Oodles, that the meditation's he's a Buddhist.
He's a Buddhist.
It's a huge part of it. But, of course, Wesley is a Buddhist as well.
Yes.
So everybody's a Buddhist.
Which, fun fact, with the new Blade that's coming, it's Mashahala Ali. It'll be an Islamic Blade. In that.
Oh, wow.
So the change in
I love Mahershala Ali so
I do.
Much. He's
I
such
do.
A good actor.
But he said he's going to bring his religion into it, which makes sense for someone fighting like evil demons, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Blade, of course, is, well, Blade meditates, Andy's a Buddhist, as is Wesley. But what Blade isn't is a tax evader. But Snipes is. Snipes
just the ones, man. Just the ones.
Between 1999 and 2001. So technically 3 years, John. He ended up owing the government about $7 million US.
Bloody hell.
He really fucked his career up, that.
He did.
Yeah.
He did 3 years at McKean Federal Correctional Facility in Pennsylvania, which ironically is where Dracula might be from.
He didn't come back to it like he didn't come back as good as Robert Downey Jr. did he? He came back from the slammer.
There's time. There's still time.
Oh, imagine if Blade's in the new Blade. Actually, Wesley Snipes is in it as well.
Well, my idea was, and I thought this was a great idea, have him as the new Whistler.
Have Snipes as
Whistler.
I'm
so into it. They're not going to do that. That was why. I thought it would have been great. They're probably going to have... Who was the man in the chair in that fucking awful... in those awful Expendables films?
Oh, it's...
I was going to say Mickey Rooney, but it's not Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rock.
Mickey Rooney would be much better in those Expendable films.
Mickey Rock could
play...
And
also not the oldest person in those films.
He could play Pearl, Mickey Rock, with his face.
Oh, God, those look like splattered,
didn't he? He's falling off.
It looks like a bloody melted bloody Easter egg.
He looks like Cassandra out of Doctor Who, doesn't he?
Just stretched.
Yeah. It's not for this podcast.
No.
At Frost Hideout, he's taunting Karen. I'd like to see you happy. Is this the point where you offer to turn me? Well, it's that or a body bag. She says if he bites him, she'll just cure herself. She knows he's a mudblood because he has a scar. A born vampire would be able to regen that. He loses it at that.
He tells
that he's going to invoke the vampire lord, and Blade's blood is the key. Just then, the guards tell Frost that Blade's here. We hear a lot of loud revving, and the SWAT guards hold back in Deacon's pad. And this bit of dialogue between him and Quinn is brilliant, so I've just written the whole thing down. Deke, I don't think you understand, man. This dude's fucking bad. Like, he's like he's had 20 guys around him. I was there, man. He's got shit he throws at you. Like the sword? Yeah. He's got the sword and shit. Exactly. Yeah, he can throw it in the air. Yeah, he's got that shit, and he throws Frost. Catch it underneath? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, shut the fuck up. There's this whole kind of thing where they're just fucking the way Frost is mocking him by doing pretty much the same voice. Yeah. It's really good.
I like Stephen Dorff in Blade, this.
I know, so
yeah, I do. Yeah. I assume there's a reason he's not in more stuff because he's not great.
No,
but he's comic booky.
I don't think he does the big things. He does a lot of independent stuff.
True Detective, didn't he as well?
Mm-hmm. Oh, so shit, I'd forgot about that. Did he do the big news?
Yeah, it was good in
series
that.
2?
They had to really talk him into doing this.
Seriously, yeah.
It's good in that.
Right. Frost orders a lockdown, and now we get this poor man's old boy corridor battle versus these two Native American lads who get stuck in with the exploding staffs.
Yeah.
And he basically causes them to swell up like Raiden in Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah. I do like how when Wesley Snipes fights, and I've got the fact he does a lot of Aikido and Karate, which he is trained in real life. He does one of my favourite moves that they do in these martial arts, where they get on one knee and they get low and they start going for the legs.
Yeah, I like that.
Because if I was getting attacked, if you get him, I'm tall, you know what I mean? I'm 6'2". If you get in my legs, I'm down. I'm on my ass.
Yeah.
It's clever.
I guess that gives you quite a wide base as well.
Yeah, and you've got
down.
Your low centre of gravity. It's what Steven Seagal wished he could do. But instead of just flips people over.
By touching them?
It's really cool.
In Frost's bedroom, Blade spots the computer with the ingredients for the Vampire Lord. Mm. Now, did you lads see what was on the screen at this point?
I saw a few names came through. There was some.
Okay.
He got the name of Blade himself, Eric Brooks.
Yeah.
That was on there. Because, spoiler alert, his mum's in there.
Yeah.
I also got... Give me a second. God. Yes, the name Jura Grando was there. Have you heard of Jura Grando?
No.
Jura Grando is, on record, online, and everywhere I've ever looked, the first recorded vampire in history.
What?
1578, known as a Strigan in Croatia. The first ever recorded mention of the myth vampire.
Excellent. Okay, nice one. Fantastic. Did you see the list that was on here, though? There was a massive list on the computer screen.
Was it names?
It was names. It was the last lot of patrons. So I saw it with my own eyes. We had Kieran, Jane, Adam, Megan, Dale, Ali, Maria, Ian, Emily, Nigel, Rachel, Jake, and Phil.
You're next.
Thanks for the money, and you got to feature in a fantastic movie from the year. Don't go back and look, because you won't see it.
I remember seeing it, because underneath it said highlighted scumbags, didn't it?
It said Stig's a prick.
It did.
I saw it with my own eyes. Yeah. This coffin bed opens up and it's Blade's mam. She's like, hey, up, duck.
She's fit though, isn't she?
She's banging. And at some point they were going to kiss. And I was like, ooh,
it was about this. I'm not your mummy anymore.
That's a Pornhub tab of its own.
I mean, think of the time difference. When was it? Did it say 68?
1967.
Yeah. She'd have been younger than him by this point. Yeah. So.
But she's now a gilf.
I don't know.
Near gilf.
A vilf, yeah, a vilf.
She explains that although she died, she came back that very night.
She calls him Eric, doesn't she?
She does.
Yeah.
Frost goons turn up and Electro shocks stick him to the ground. Deacon turns up and explains he was the one that turned his mother. Bum, bum, bum.
He's basically his dad.
In a way. Blade wakes up in the back of a truck with Karen, asking for the serum. She says if it works, he'll lose his super strength and his regenerative powers. Mm. He'll be completely human. They're pulled out of the truck and taken it to one of the sets from The Mummy, which is a much worse film than this.
Way worse.
And this is the Temple of Eternal Night. Vampires had forgotten it existed, but he learned through the texts, obviously on his Nokia. He's also bought the Vampire High Council with them. They're going to be used to summon the Blood God. They don't look very happy about it, do they? They look well out of their element.
It's as if, when I watch it, as if they didn't believe in the God they were preaching. But as I said earlier, Erebus is the ancient god of the dark region of the underworld from Greek mythology, the son of Chaos and Nyx, and apparently the god that corrupted Hades to go up against his brother Zeus. So he's an absolute twat.
Oh, right. Yeah, what a badden.
A bugger.
what a rascally.
You're a rat bugger, you.
Yeah.
Deacon has Blade's sword and he's swishing it about, but before the knifey bits can go off, he presses a secret button and stops it because he can read, you see.
He can read the glyphs.
He asks Quinn to hold out his arm and he goes to slice it off. He's like, oh, just kidding. Karen tries to get Blade's attention, but as Frost explains, he can't hear. The hunger has got to him, which we all know that feeling, lads, eh?
More
Friday night,
hangry.
Chippy tea, hangry.
Cheesy chips.
That's it, absolutely. Parmo, nothing else will do. Deacon grabs Blade's serum. What does it feel like? Is your blood on fire? He's like, try some, you might like it.
Yeah.
He says, I prefer the real thing. And Frost throws the vials across the chamber, and we don't really see this, but they land
in a crevice.
Halfway up the tower. It's weird.
The goons take Blade out, and Deacon has the Vampire Council led downstairs. He pushes Karen into the Rancor pit from Return of the Jedi.
He does.
Which is full of bones and shit, as well as Curtis, who for some reason has now got this Lily von Stupp accent.
Yeah, he talks like this. He's like, Karen! He sounds like the guy from Independence Day. I get my lawyer. He sounds like, what's his name?
Oh, God, I have it.
Harvey Firestein.
Yeah, Harvey Firestein.
Yeah, just a little
fuck
bit.
My lawyer.
Make me a woman. Oh, I'm so happy.
Just gives him a Brooklyn accent.
She cripples him with a bone fragment before using a further bone fragment to climb out of the
and
pit.
He's going, Karen!
Which
Karen!
Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. In the ceremonial chamber, Blade is stripped and strapped into this big black thing from 2001 Space.
I tell you what, he's in shape though, isn't he? Old Snipes.
He's not got a neck.
And he hasn't got a neck, he's just beef.
He hasn't got a neck. His mam explains to him that sooner or later, the thirst will always win. We know that feeling, lads.
Yeah. We do.
She clicks a button. Like this button, she stands on this button. It's such a good place for a button.
It is.
And he's basically in a massive obelisk maiden, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His blood begins to drain out of it as the council members are all lined up below. The blood begins seeping through this marble ceiling. A few members of the council are taunting Mercury. You'll die too. She murders one. She's not to be trifled with, and that's only the second thing she does in this film.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in the blooding chamber, which I've called it, Karen removes Blade from the Stone Maiden and explains he's dying, that he has to take some of her blood. So he does, long and hard. It's like the hottest thing in the film. The goons are holding the head vampires under the blood dripping from the chamber above, forcing them to be covered in Blade's blood. Deacon stands in the middle and does the same. Lightning randomly hits the building, and each of the members of the council get shocked by lightning, and it's basically got them in its grasp. Including, by the way, did you spot Orson Welles' vampire?
Yes, I did.
Ah, the French champagne!
He was blood drunk Blade, on this one.
He was blood drunk. This is the French champagne.
I also looked into this this kind of blood ritual, and it's called blood menstruation, okay. And it's a known druid thing that they used to do and have people in some kind of above chamber and have it drip on their head. It's ridiculous.
What?
It's utterly ridiculous.
Yeah.
Blade fights his mam and ends up running her through with a bit of stabby.
And that's how my mum's going to go as well.
Is she not going to end up burning up on her on a Sunday?
I'm going to fight her in Anglesey. Run through them,
it's a beautiful location, why not?
Yeah.
The lightning illuminates the chamber and causes the members to all erupt into skeleton vampires. Yeah.
They fly out like Jason and the Argonauts or something like that.
It's very much again.
Yeah. Like the Gremlin, the Bat Gremlin.
The Bat Gremlin,
Gremlins 2, the new batch. Yeah. Second week on the trot we've mentioned that, I think.
I know. Many
it's a good
it.
Film. New batch.
It's a lot of fun.
It's got Hulk Hogan in it.
It's a lot of fun. It's basically a cartoon. It's cartoon, but with actual people in it. Just then, Blade arrives and does this brilliant superhero landing. Quinn screams, "I'll kill you! I've two perfectly good hands! I just need to know which one to use!" And as he runs at him, Blade just decapitates him.
We're cheese wire.
His Oakleys fly out the air and he grabs them and puts them on. It's really good.
Nice.
He then spends about 5 minutes taking on multiple goons who only run at him one at a time.
It's good choreography, though, when it actually happens.
It is great choreography. Mm.
And that's always the snipes,
one geezer,
that.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, I've double-checked.
Wow, fantastic. There's one chap, he literally rips the throat out with his hand.
And hits somebody with it.
Yeah,
I'd say, other than that scene in Demolition Man in the museum, this is one of his best choreographed films. However,
I think so.
I don't know if it's Blade 1, 2 or 3, he does a full Nelson suplex on a guy. And I think it's 2, actually.
And I remember that.
Wesley Snipes' face, he is literally lifting a man. He's going, right? And he flings him and it smashes all over that fake glass. It's so incredible.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I remember.
And he did it in
that.
one take.
Jesus.
And he looks picking a bloke up. It's insane.
Jesus.
Meanwhile, Karen's shooting 5 shotgun bullets at a running Mercury and hits a pillar every single time when it would be easier to hit nothing.
Yeah. It's a harder shot
to do. She's literally just aiming. Yeah, she's aiming for the pillars. Mercury lunges at her. I'm really going to enjoy this. Teeth bared. And Karen, vampire maces her in the gob.
Yeah.
And her head just explodes.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Mm. It's a pretty good ending for a non-character.
Yes.
Blade's out of goons that are dressed like Harry in Home Alone. so instead he does a sword fight with Frost until he takes off his hand and then cuts him in two. But Frost, as his body's lifting up, metabolises blood to make him a long boy.
Yeah.
He looks like your man Stellan Skarsgård out of Dune.
He does, doesn't he?
Stomach of blood that pulls his body parts back together.
It still looks very Lawnmower Man, though.
Yeah, well, the hand did. I thought the long body looked good.
It's better than the alternative version of this. I don't know if you looked into it. There was going to have a full CGI blood cloud Lamagra.
Yeah, and it would have just looked like...
And it looked horrendous, apparently.
Oh, yeah. It's
on the DVD.
It's like it's script level.
It's on the DVD. You can actually watch the whole thing. And it's just... You can't see Wesley Snipes. You can't see him. And it's just this
blood cloud.
I bet it just
looked like... Your man, the Spawn devil.
Oh,
it would just look like that, wouldn't
Spawn.
It? Just like dog shit. We fight some more, and Frost looks like he's on top when Blade throws his sword at the hanging vials of synthetic blood. It sticks in the crack in the wall just below them, and when the handle does the sticky thing, he's able to catch the synth stuff. I love this bit, by the way. He throws them all, like his best bullseye job, didn't he, at Frost, and they stick in his body, and none of it works. Frost's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
And then he holds up the last one, throws it up in the air, and utters the immortal line, Oodle.
Some motherfucker's always trying to ice skate uphill. So good.
Throws it, and when it's coming down, Roundhouse kicks it into his forehead.
The best, one-liner in Marvel Cinematic History.
Yeah, it's great. He turns into Mr. Blobby, and he explodes.
And the day is saved.
Karen and Blade leave the chamber, and outside she tells him he has to go back. She has to go back to the lab and cure Blade. He basically says, you want to help? Make me a better serum. There's a war going on. And do you know anything about the alternative version of this scene, by the way, Lance?
Didn't Blade just get killed? Didn't he just get...
No. No. There's like an extra 5 seconds at the end where after they've done all those lines, they're about to walk away.
And she blows up.
She spots up on a rooftop Dr. Michael Morbius.
Oh, is that it?
Fuck off,
if you go on YouTube, there's somebody has videoed a TV with the thing on. It looks like dog shit, but that's meant to be. It was
the
almost
Morbid
time 26 years ago, listeners.
Jesus. That's insane.
Then move to a final scene in Moscow, the Red Square. A vampire attacks a woman baring his teeth, but Blade's there. Caught you at a bad time, comrade, which obviously. Is taking on the Whistler line.
Yes.
He draws his sword and credits.
It's so good, isn't it? It's funky.
It's just
adrenaline from start to finish.
It is adrenaline, yeah. Right, Oodles, as you're the guest, any more facts before we finish?
Blade created by Marv Wolfman and Gene Colan. What else we got? Blade Universe Vampirism is... it's got many plot holes. It's either there's two versions of vampirism in the Blade universe and the Marvel universe. It's either a virus or the dark gift from the Blood God himself. What else have I got? The pink explosive gunk that he uses.
Yep.
That's known as nitrogen triodide. It's real and it's used in films mainly due to its distinct colour and explosive pop. It's not very good practical usage. Silver nitrate would be harmful to vampires because for some reason it helps humans in real life due to it helping the blood clot, which is not what vampires would want, would they? They want the blood clot in.
No, absolutely not.
No, chunky blood.
I think I've got one more. Yes, there's two aliens and alien references in this film. Did you catch them at all? Oh. The elevator door to Pearl's thing is the bulkhead from the Nostromo, and the bed of Blade's mum that lifts up is the noise from the pods from the Sulaco in Aliens.
Oh, wow.
They deliberately put that in.
I'm going to have to watch those bits again because I love Aliens.
And the final one, it's the first Marvel film since the release of Howard the Duck.
Wow. Yeah, nearly killed Marvel.
Yes, they didn't want to do it because they did Fantastic Four, but they never released it because it was a tax write-off.
It's atrocious.
But you can get
it. Corman film.
You can get it.
The documentary about it's good, but it's about half an hour too long.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Fantastic, mate. Thank you, John.
Jet Li was offered the part of Frost, but he turned it down to do Lethal Weapon 4. Blade's first appearance in the comic book was the Tomb of Dracula. In 1973, the car was a 1968 Dodge Charger. What the? Forgetting all these things? A 1968 Dodge Charger. Mm-hmm. And the first known reference of a vampire appeared in written text, I think it's Old Russian, in 1046 AD.
Yeah, and they also had the Japanese jumping vampires before BC, before the birth, but they didn't call them vampires. And if you Google Japanese jumping vampires, it's the best half hour you can have in your life.
All right, okay.
It's basically frogmen, vampires.
The director, Stephen Norrington, SFX motherfucker, worked on special effects for Aliens. And next week's episode, John, Split Second.
Are you doing Split Second?
Like a hour. Yeah,
we're going back. We're going back to the Thames, big man. Going back to the Thames.
He's just as famous for what he was attached to that didn't happen. Blade 2, he was going to do. Mm-hmm. Hey. He turned it down.
Wow.
A Shang-Chi film.
Wow.
In the early 2000s.
Right.
And a live-action Akira film.
Oh, I'm glad they didn't do that.
He's famous for something more than that.
What, retiring from acting because he was upset by Sean Connery?
Well, Sean Connery giving up acting because of him, apparently.
Yes.
He's a fucking lunatic.
They both claimed that they've given up the work
because of each
because
other.
Because of how the other treated one another. Yeah, absolutely. Oodles, how many do you think we got while I count them up?
Well, I alone got 50, so I reckon we got 100. Bang on.
Okay, John Hyer.
122.
Oh, John, too high. You spunked it again. 114.
114. I'm happy with that.
What? Yeah.
But here's the good news, Oodles. You've got us out of our dry run because it's been it's probably been a month since longer.
I've lubed you up.
We got.
You've
lubed us up and bladed in us or something.
I could have gone even deeper with the Marvel stuff, but I kind of omitted loads of it because it's boring.
Yeah, and that's the key thing. Sometimes it's about making it a bit more interesting.
Yes.
All right, Oodles, do you want to tell us once more where listeners can get you? Because they really should, because you are one of my favourite podcasts and the podcast I pay the most money to.
You find us.
But it's still great value.
Find everything we do at modernescapism.co.uk. We've just left it simple.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
Do you know what I'm starting next week, Oodles?
What?
I'm starting my 3 months backlog of Do Dragons Dream Scorch Sheet.
Mate.
Because I always leave massive blocks.
Do you know we've only got about 8 episodes left of that?
Oh, don't say that.
We're going to do it again. We're going to do a different team.
You should. You absolutely should.
It's bad news. Mad,
look how
mad
upset he is. Look at his wee upset face.
He's a right nerd.
Yeah, because...
He's a nerd, him, John. He's a nerd.
I know. Yeah, that's why I don't hang about
him. Proper virgin, that
very,
man.
I am, man. I've never... You ever kissed a girl, son? Anyway... So if you like what we do, again, please go to 100thingswelearnfromfilm.co.uk. Follow us all over the socials. It'll give us a quid. You two could get the chance to, or you two will get the chance to vote for the episode that we do in April, which is coming in the next week or so.
It will be Blade 2.
Next week. Next week, of course, is the final episode of Monster March, even though it's probably going to go live at the beginning of April, but fuck you. We do what we want. We will be talking Rutger Hauer with our good friend Paul Payne on Split Second. John, say something nice to the lovely people.
Oh, something nice, but no, I'm really looking forward to Split Second. And thanks for all the feedback for the three shows. I've had a few people coming to me and saying they're really enjoying the smaller episodes, so let's cut this
the
one
shorter
into two.
Episodes.
Aye, so.
Yeah.
No,
thanks. Not this one, then.
I was going to say, let's cut this one into two.
Sorry, my bad.
Cut my episode in two pieces.
I do feel as if some of the ones we have more fun on are the longer ones, but
yeah, some of the ones we have more fun on are when Oodles is on them. Just say it, mate. It's fine. He's got a broad shoulders. He'll be all right. He's a big lad.
And his ways. And his ways are phlebotanist.
Yes. No, just on weekends. Oodles again, mate. Thanks very much for joining us.
More than welcome.
It's been super. And listeners, he's been Oodles, he's been John, I've been Planty, and this has been 114 things
Woo.
That we've learned from Blade.
Basing the place.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.